It happens quite often at family gatherings that a young child will, perhaps not so young, really, would say, when it comes time to sit down to the meal, I want to sit by Grandma, or I want to sit by Uncle So-and-so. And there's some affinity that the child has to that person, some desire that he has to be with that person. And if he doesn't get his way, why, it might be a real problem. I want to sit by somebody. And if I can't, why, I don't know if I can enjoy the meal. And so it might get to be a difficult time. Well, I would think that every one of us would want to be with Christ, with Jesus. The disciples did not want Jesus to leave. And that's understandable, isn't it? They had been with him for about 3 years, and now he says, I'm going away, and you can't come with me. And that was something that bothered them. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 13, and I'm not going to read the whole passage that I had indicated in the bulletin, but I do want to note particular parts of it. This is the night that Jesus will be arrested. And he's there, he's instituted the Lord's Supper to his disciples. Judas has gone out. And beginning with the 31st verse, we read that Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And then verse 33, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. And of course, he's talking about going to be crucified. He says, you will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now where I am going, you cannot come. Well, Peter was disturbed by that. Where are you going? Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Will you really lay down your life for me, says Jesus? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. And then he talks about going to prepare a place for his people. And of course, he would do that at the cross. But then Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, our memory verse for this month of January is the 21st verse. So let's recite that one together as you see it there. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show myself to him. And then he goes on and says that Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We'll end our reading at that point and ask that God would bless the reading of this portion of his word. Can't you just hear the frustration in the disciples as Jesus speaks with them? They're really not anticipating his arrest that night. They're looking forward to being with him for a while. But he says, I'm going away. I don't want you to go away. We don't want you to go away. Where are you going? Why don't you tell us all? And you have all these questions. Here are the disciples have all these questions. And the answers that Jesus give are rather enigmatic, so that it's a little bit difficult for them to understand what he's really talking about. The disciples certainly didn't want him to leave. And though he ascended into heaven, he is with those whom he has chosen. The first thing we note then is that not everyone can be with Jesus. Not everyone will be with Jesus. Perhaps we should say it that way. Not everyone will be with Jesus. Grandma can only have two grandkids sitting right next to her, one on her right and one on her left, unless she can somehow fit one on her lap. But with Jesus, there are many others that can be with him. But who are they? Well, first of all, not everyone can be with him. We note that in his earthly ministry, Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You remember that time that there was a lady who came to him because her daughter was ill, seemed like she might die. Jesus, come and heal her. I'm sorry, you're not an Israelite. I'm not going to the people of Israel. Get out of here. And the way that Jesus deals with her seems rather harsh to us. But Jesus says, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And so he came to the covenant descendants of the blood descendants of Abraham. This was the testimony of his work, that he was sent to the house of Israel and not to the Gentiles. Now, this woman, of course, was persistent, so that when Jesus said it's not right to take the food from the children and give it to the dogs, she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs lick up the crumbs that the children drop on the floor under the master's table. And so Jesus said to her, go your way, your daughter's healed. That persistence paid off for her. But you see, Jesus' purpose was to come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Nevertheless, the fact that he did heal this daughter said that something else was going to happen, that he was going to extend his covenant to the people who were outside of national Israel. Up to this point, the Gentiles had to become Jews in order to be in the covenant. But now Jesus says, I'm going away, and the world isn't going to see me anymore, but you'll see me. After the crucifixion and burial of Jesus, the world does not see Jesus. He appears only to the disciples, not merely the 12, but to those who were his disciples, those who were his followers. And then he ascended into heaven and sent to us his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. After being crucified, after his earthly ministry, you see, he would come only to his spiritual heirs and be with them. John, remember, testifies in the very first chapter of his gospel account that he came to his own and his own did not receive him. He came to the Jews, and there were many who did not accept Jesus Christ. They rejected him. And so he never showed now himself to people after his death other than to those who were trusting in him. His ministry now would be to the new Israel, as Paul outlines what that Israel is, particularly in the book of Romans. For example, in chapter 2 of Romans, verses 28 and 29, a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. And then again in chapter 9 of Romans, verse 6, it is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. He would bring himself only to the new Israel, to those who were his by faith. And so the spiritual descendants of Abraham, only the spiritual descendants of Abraham, are those who would see him after his death and burial. When we come to this 21st verse of John chapter 14, then, we find Jesus informing us who they are who will be with him, who will see him, who will know him. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. I want to take note of two different ways that he defines those who he is with. First of all, those who have and keep his commandments. Whoever has my commandments and obeys them. There's one definition. Whoever has my commandments and obeys them. It's an unusual way of putting it, isn't it? Whoever has my commandments. What's it mean to have his commandments? Well, you can say, well, I'm carrying my Bible around, so I have his commandments. But this seems to be more a matter of ownership. These commands of God are mine. I love them. They are to be a part of me, and that's why I keep them. Whoever has and obeys my commandments. That's the description that he is giving here. A sense of ownership of Christ's commandments. The law of God is written, you see, in the new covenant on the heart. It is in the conscience of his people. God has written this law on our hearts so that we know the law. We have the law. We know it and therefore obey it. And obedience, you'll notice, is critical. Obedience to God's law is critical for those who would be with Jesus. In fact, there is truly no faith in Christ where there is no subsequent obedience. There is no true faith in Christ unless there is obedience that follows having that faith. Whoever has my commands and obeys them. The second description is, he is the one who loves me. It is only those who love him who can be with him. Now, that's the same set of people. The people who have and keep his commandments are also those who love him. And that's why they keep his commandments. It's a demonstration of loyal obedience. That's really the best sign of love, isn't it? That loyalty, the loyal obedience that we show to the one who says this is what you're to do, particularly if it is one who is superior to us. You also show love to those who are your equals by doing what they want. And you do it even to those who might be under you. Particularly, though, to those who are above us. And certainly God is sovereign over us. And we demonstrate our love to Him by our loyal obedience to Him. This is what Paul describes as more excellence, more excellent than the greatest of gifts. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he tells about the various gifts that have been given to the church. And the Corinthian church has been very eager to have these gifts, particularly the gift of speaking in tongues, because they think that really shows how spiritual I am. But then Paul says, I show you a still more excellent way. And you know what the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is. It is that description of love. What love is and how it is that we, we can do all the right things. But if we don't have love, we're nothing. That's what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. It is the new commandment of the new covenant. That's the way John writes about it. In this passage that we had set before us here back in the 13th chapter, he says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And you'll notice that when you go to 1 John, he continues to speak of the new command that he is giving to them, which is to love one another. And then he says, that's really not a new command, it's an old one. But you see, that is the command of the new covenant. It's the way that you are to be known as God's people, by your love for one another. So there's Jesus' description of who can be with him, who can enjoy his presence. The one who has and keeps his commandments, who loves him. We notice also then that there are blessings in being with Christ. And John seems to put it backwards here for us as he writes down Jesus' words, doesn't he? Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. Is it possible for you to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to love God without him first loving you? No, it isn't. So this seems backward to us, doesn't it? But isn't his love given to us from both sides? We love because he first loved us. That's the only reason we are able to love him. But now that we love him, and we demonstrate that love for him by obeying his commands, keeping them, he loves us all the more. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's true that he first must love you. But his love also follows your love and obedience. And Jesus also says, I will love you. And I will show myself to him who loves me. There's the very thing that the disciples had been worried about. You're going away. We want you with us. Don't worry. You who have and keep my commands are the ones who love me. And the one who loves me, my Father will love, and I will love him, and I will show myself to him. He doesn't describe in great detail what it means that he will show himself to them. But it seems to be the fulfillment of what he has been saying all along when he says that we are to love him and those who love him will enjoy his presence. I will be with you. Only he says, I will give you my spirit and he will be with you forever. And so you see how this blessedness works. Jesus also loved you enough to die for you. The Lord, Christ shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now his love for you is to bring you to enjoy fellowship with him. Remember what was said to those who overcome, to those in the church in Laodicea. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Being with Jesus includes these blessings: the love of the Father, the love of Christ, and him showing himself to you. It should be our desire to be with Jesus. Is that your desire? I trust that it is. If it is not your desire, I would plead that you come calling on the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him to show you his love, that you might be a partaker of his grace. As one who loves and obeys him, though, you would be those who sit on his throne. And so it would be your longing to be with Jesus, even as it was the disciples' longing to have him continue with them. But he's given you his Spirit so that he is with you. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, we're going to sing the C selection. Yet constantly I am with you. You've taken hold of my right hand. Your counsel shows me what to do and guides me in the things I plan. And afterward, so shall it be. You will with honor welcome me. What a great blessing and privilege to those who have and keep his commandments.